talking about renewing your spiritual life. I like that old hoe up there. How many of you are gardeners? Ever done gardening work? Don't have to do it right now. You know, after a while, we kind of outgrow gardening. I've kind of outgrown it. I found that I can buy it almost as cheap as I can grow it. But you know, when you garden, you've got a hoe. And that hoe is used to chop the weeds out of the garden. What happens as you use that hoe? It wears out after a while. You grow stronger. Why? Because you keep having to chop so much. But after a while, you take that hoe into the shed and do what with it? You sharpen it. We understand that when it comes to gardening, you have to sharpen the hoe, you have to sharpen the shovel, you have to sharpen the axe, you have to sharpen the saw. Why is it that we think sometimes when it comes to Christianity, we don't have to sharpen ourselves? That we don't need to do something or do things that will help our Christianity to stay as strong as it needs to be. And those are some of the things that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. Things that we can do, things that areas that we need to work on that will help our Christian life to be what it ought to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, I'm going to try and keep this sound from, or I'll get used to it. I don't know how Charles does it standing in this spot all the time. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, God wants renewal. Paul says, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is what? Renewing day by day. I get up in the morning and one of the first things that I want to do is go get something to eat because my body craves food. It craves renewing. I go to bed at night and I go to sleep because my body needs to renew from that day's work. How many of us could go for weeks and months without any sleep? But God craves us to be renewed, our inward man renewed every day. And there are things that we can do every day that will help us to keep our spirits renewed. Some things work for one, while other things work for someone else, but all of them work together. Reading God's Word. Meditation, praying. I enjoy those things. I also enjoy listening to Christian music. I enjoy listening to audiobooks. But I seem to get most of my spiritual renewal from fellowshipping with other Christians. To be quite honest, I get most of it from being around other Christians. I had a fellow ask me one time, he says, Ken, why do you go to Sunday school? He says, with your Bible knowledge and your training and your understanding, what do you get out of Sunday school? I said, well, I go for several reasons. I says, one of the reasons I go is because sometimes I'm reminded of something I've forgotten. You ever have that happen to you? I told him, I said, sometimes I go because I learned something that I didn't realize before. How many of you heard this little story of Red Riding Hood before you realized that it was a message not to talk to strangers? You know, to me, growing up, for years, it was just a good little nursery rhyme. The same thing happens as you read God's Word and as you study God's Word. I continued with my defense of why I go to Sunday school. I said, well, another reason I go is because I think it encourages the teacher. You know, when the room is fuller, bigger, and got more people in it, you're more encouraged and you do a better job at teaching. And by the way, speaking of such, Mark was telling me that their class was supposed to begin in the puppet room this week and was postponed because I think they were going camping, but they had to cancel their camping trip, but it will begin next week. It's in studying Philippians. He's nodding his head, yes. So it's Philippians, and it starts in the puppet room next week. If you want to go join them in there, I'm sure they'll appreciate it, and you'll get something from it. But there are a number of reasons why we should come to worship and why we should fellowship with one another, and some things that we can do that will cause us... Uh-oh, may have to turn me down somewhere, Charles. Up there? All right. We'll get this right after a while. I'll find out where he's setting me and then I'll leave him alone. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us what? Who knows that one by heart? I brought my little book. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. Y'all didn't think you were going to get away without having to open your Bibles here, did you? He starts out with this word, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Remind them, put them in remembrance of these things. And so as we talk about renewing, we're talking about, to a large extent, remembering. So see, I've really got it easy. All I've really got to do is help you to remember things you already know. One of the habits of successful people is that once they develop their habits, they remember them. They go back and review them and do them over and over and over again. One of the secrets in sales, so they tell me, is that at least once a year you go back to the basics. You go back to the things that have worked for you in the past and you start them over again and you redo them and you put them into practice. That means that things may change from time to time. And as we talk about renewing here in the book of Deuteronomy, we're looking at the giving, the second giving of the law or the retelling of the law. And this in Deuteronomy is not as detailed as the book of Leviticus. It kind of reminds me of a professor that I had who, when he taught Christian evidences, you'd have thought he was at the creation watching God make it. That's just the way he taught it. When he taught church history, you would think he was there watching Barton W. Stone and David Lipscomb and Alexander Campbell having their debates. It was just the way that he taught. Moses, at this time, he is nearing the end of his life, and the book of Deuteronomy is a recording of the three speeches that he gives of the children of Israel before his death. So he's nearing 110, 115, 120 years old. How many of you are 120 years old? You know, he was 80 when he led them out of the land of Egypt. Who's 80 in here? Richard, are you close to 80? You want to lead a million of people? You want to run for president and straighten out this nation? He was about 80 years old when he started. And so here he is at the end of his life, and he's telling the children of Israel, reminding them before entering the promised land, the secrets that would guarantee military victory, economic prosperity, and spiritual vitality. Now, how many of us could use that in our world and our nation today? You know, we're always looking for military victory, aren't we? We spend untold amounts of money on the military. We're looking for economic prosperity. And one of the problems our president seems to have is that he can't get the economy to turn around. And we want spiritual vitality. When we talk about spiritual vitality, what are we talking about? Happiness, contentment, right? Joy, peace. And Moses gives us the secret to those successes. Maybe our congressman ought to read the book of Deuteronomy. What are they? Honor God's covenant. God has made a covenant with the children of Israel, and that's what Moses says. Honor the covenant. Has God made a covenant with us today? Do we honor the covenant? Be committed to love for God. Practice obedience to His Word. And all of those things require a daily spiritual renewal. You want to know the secrets to happiness, to economic prosperity? There's the secret. Honor the covenant. And as we talk about the covenant, I may have gotten ahead of myself a little bit. As the three farewell speeches, chapters 1 through 4 tells us what God did for Israel. And when you look at a covenant in ancient times, you looked at what someone has done for you. In this case, we would look at a king. The king says, look what I've done for you. Chapters 1 through 4 tells what God did for Israel. What did He do for them? He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He brought them through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They're ready now to go into the promised land. Chapters 5 through 26 gives us the commandments that was given to bless His covenant. You do what I tell you to do, and this is what I'll do for you. Chapters 27 and 28 is an explanation of the blessings and the curses that's connected with the law. You don't keep the covenant, and this is what's going to happen to you. In chapters 29 through 34 is the final charge to the faithful with the records of Moses' death. Deuteronomy is a reminder of the treaty between God and Israel. And in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1, when they got ready to go into the land of Canaan, they'd already conquered Jericho. What did God tell Joshua? Anybody have an idea? What did God tell Joshua? Fear not. Why? I have given into your hand the land of Ai, Where does our blessings come from? They come from my hard work, don't they? They come from my education. Kendrick keeps shaking his head no. They come from my dedication to my job. No. Where do they come from? They come from God. Good people, when we realize that it does not matter how much I know, how hard I work, how long I work, what I do, how much of it I do, unless God is willing to bless my labors and my works and my efforts, it is of no good. Jesus said in the New Testament that we say we're going to go here and we're going to go there and we're going to sell and we're going to get gain. And he said what? We should say, if God will. All of our blessings and all of the things that we have or hope to have, whether it be health, prosperity, peace and comfort, and good family life, all comes from our reliance upon God and following His will. Question, are you ready to break free from the barriers to your spiritual and physical happiness? You know, there are things that are in our way. And as long as you're trying to do what's right, God is going to continue to put things in your way. God, the devil. So y'all let me get away with that one. He's going to let me finish before you... Oh, God. When you got up this morning, did the devil try to give you some excuse to stay away from church? Got a few little aches? Got a little headache? It sure would be a good morning to sleep in. It looks like it's going to rain, and the weatherman says you got a 60% chance of rain today. I think 80% tomorrow. Most people are going to be off work tomorrow, so you can sleep in tomorrow. When you get ready to go do some good work for the Lord, and that's going to be a blessing to His kingdom, does the devil try to find a way to put something in your way to stop you? You know that you need to read God's Word on a regular basis. Whether it be daily or every other day or 2 hours a week or whatever your schedule allows you to do. And I know Henry is taking a count of daily Bible readers, and I didn't ask that this morning, so maybe we ought to ask that. And Henry's going to stand up and count. He may not like the fact that I didn't mention, you know, that you ought to read every day. And you might count listening to the Bible as a reading. But it's putting Him first. Are you ready to wade in and experience God's amazing plan for renewing your life? And this morning our subject, now that's all been introduction. So I got to get moving. That's the introduction to the series. This morning we want to talk about renewing your love as an offer that you cannot refuse. There's a song in our book, and I'm not going to try to sing it nor lead it. It's number 979, and it's titled, The Longer I Serve Him. It says, since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying. Plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way grows brighter. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And as we talk about love, you know, love is one of those things that you have to constantly work at. Husbands have to keep working at it to love their wife. Wives have to keep working at it to love your husbands. After all, if you didn't work at it, wouldn't he get on your nerves before long? He may do it anyway. One fellow says, you know, husbands love to be abused as long as they know they're being abused. And, you know, you can get things out of him. One man says that his wife would tell him, says, "Sweetheart, if you'll take the trash out, I'll make it worth your while." Now, worth your while may be fixing his favorite meal or the dish that he likes that's hard to do. You know, it takes a lot of time and work. Whatever it is. He said that his wife loved Snicker bars, and so he would just put a Snickers bar on the table every once in a while or on the nightstand beside the bed. And then he had to tell the audience, he says, "Now don't go out and buy Snicker bars for your wife, because," he said, "my wife likes Snicker bars, yours might like Hershey's Kisses." You know, find what they like. And just those little things, you know, that show, "I love you, I appreciate you, I adore you, I admire you, I want you, I'm glad you're in my life." And when we talk about renewing our love for God, we're looking at a positive change, reviving, returning something to its former glory. And my friend, spiritual renewal is neither mysterious nor a complicated thing. We find what works, and we do it. So what works? Studying God's Word, communing with Him, fellowship with Him, praying with Him or to Him. Fellowship is a two-way street. My praying to God, my asking Him for what I want and desire. But that's not just asking, it's also thanking Him for the blessings He's given me. And studying His Word, allowing Him to talk to me. Ask yourself this question. Are you experiencing any of the following, the spiritual blahs? You just seem to be going through the motions. You have confidence that God exists, but you don't feel close to Him anymore. Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I get up in the mornings on Sunday morning or maybe even Sunday evening or Wednesday after I've had a day at work and I'm tired and I'm sore and I'm hot and whatever. And I just don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading my Bible, or I don't feel like doing this or that. But I do it anyway. Just going through the motions. Guess what? Sometimes when I go through the motions, it perks me up and I feel better for having done it. Sometimes that's exactly what I need to do to get me out of that state. Are you confident that God exists, but you just don't feel close to Him anymore? Somebody said, "Guess who moved?" Let's see what we can do to overcome those things. You need a positive change, it comes down to two things. Number one, loving God. And number two, keeping His commandments. Loving God and keeping His commandments. New Christians eat milk. Mature Christians eat meat. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2 says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Now we all know that in a physical life, babies eat milk. They drink milk and they grow. And I still drink a little glass of milk every now and then, once in a while, but I don't live off of milk. There comes a time when we ought to be able to what? Teach. God expects us to grow. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A spiritually handicapped person has a stale prayer life. They have a shallow understanding of God's knowledge. They have selfish motives. I want, I'd like. You think about it. While the mature Christian has an active prayer life, it's constant, it's steady, it's ongoing. Paul says that we should continue in prayer. They're always trying to grow their knowledge and their understanding. And I was kidding with someone the other night after, I think it may have been this past Wednesday night, that, you know, I don't have the same understanding that somebody else does, and they don't understand things the way that I do. And I just have to consider that maybe they just don't have the spiritual knowledge and understanding and the maturity that I have. And I need to be patient with them until they get to my level. Of course, it could be that I don't have the understanding of spiritual maturity that they do, and they need to be patient till I catch up with them. You know, we argue and we get all upset over things most of the time that don't really matter. What color is the carpet? What brand of tissue should we put in the bathrooms? Should we do this? Shouldn't we do that? Who knows? You know, if it's not a violation of Scripture, what then? Selfish motives. How do I get out of these things? It's our understanding. And one of the things that helped me to outgrow selfish motives was the realization that Christ died on the cross for me. He gave me eternal life. And regardless of whatever else is going on in my life, I've got that promise and that assurance, and that is way more than I deserve. When I realize that I already have more than I deserve, those selfish motives go away. Your life changes. God is pictured as a shepherd in the Bible. A shepherd leads his sheep. He looks for the green pastures. He looks for the waters where the sheep can receive the nourishment and the renewal that they need. He is expressed or pictured as a father, as a husband, as a potter, a gardener, a warrior. In Deuteronomy, he is pictured as a benevolent king. Not as a ruthless king, but as a benevolent king, one who cares about his subjects. In ancient times, when you looked at a covenant, it identified who was in control. Who's in control? God is. The king is in control. It identifies, or it's designed to inspire loyalty by recalling what has been done for the subjects. In Israel's case, it was designed to inspire loyalty because I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I fed you and I clothed you. It's strange that they wandered for 40 years through a wilderness and their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out. I took care of your physical needs. In our life today, what has God done for you? We don't have time to list all of those things today. But it's designed to inspire loyalty by recalling what's been done for them. It sets forth expectations. The covenant sets forth expectations. The king says, this is what I've done for you. This is what I expect from you in return. It explains consequences of keeping or breaking that agreement. That's true in any covenant. That's true in the Old Testament covenant. That's true in the New Testament covenant. This is what you can expect to gain by keeping the covenant. This is what you can expect to lose by breaking the covenant. The intent of the covenant was to establish an intimate bond between God and His people. God has always wanted to have a close bond with you. And I'm not ready for you to ring that bell. It's about relationships and love. It's not about legalism and law keeping. The choice is a personal one. Question, who will rule as king in your heart? Either God or Satan. In the New Testament, it is initiated by faith and it's sealed with baptism. Luke chapter 14, verses 27 through 33 says that we are to do what? Count the cost. No man starts to build a building or go to a war or do this or that or the other unless he first sit down and do what? Count the cost to see whether he is going to be able to complete the task that he started. Breaking the covenant is a serious matter. It's demonstrated in one's daily life. It's not about being perfect, but it's about the authenticity of the professed love for God. It's not about you living a perfect, sinless life every day, but it is about what? It's about faithfulness. It's about your serious commitment to doing what is right. Real change takes place in the heart. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Some of these I managed to mark. Although the print's so little, I don't know that I can read them. Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God works in you. It starts in the heart. Based on past blessings and future promises, loyalty is the desired result. Now, what have we talked about the past blessings. What's the future promise for you and for me? Crown of life, heaven as our goal. Jeremiah 31:31 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And that new covenant is the New Testament. That's the one that you and I live under. Hebrews 8:13 says, in that He says a new covenant. He's made the first obsolete and now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Eternal rewards await those who remain faithful to the end. Revelation 2:10 says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. What does that tell me? That tells me the devil is after you and he's after me. I had a lady I used to work with one time, and she'd tell me, she says, devil's after me today. He's trying to get me to say something or do something or react in some way that he know that I know I ought not to. He's after me today. You know, and the devil gets after us all at times. It might be that the husband didn't do what he's supposed to, or the wife didn't do what she's supposed to. And you know, I know that's the case, because in Job, going through his problems, who was his biggest tempter? His wife says, I'll just curse God and die. Do it and get it over with. You know, so sometimes the devil uses those that's closest to us. Sometimes he waits till you get in the car to drive down the road, and you get behind some putt-putt slowpoke who won't get out of the way. You know, or you get stopped by every red light through town, and you're like, is it ever going to change? I thought these things was here to speed up the flow of traffic, and yet it's slowing me down. The devil is always after us. The things that you're going to suffer, and some of those things are more than that, but faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You're going to suffer, but if you will endure those sufferings and you keep your covenant relationship with God, God says, I will give you a crown of life. As Christians begin, we should begin each day by proposing to honor the covenant we've made with God. An open heart and an open mind are all that are needed to unleash God's renewing power in your life. And you know, the children of Israel broke that covenant on a constant basis. It doesn't require that we live perfect, but that we try to live perfect. That's our goal, is to do what's right. And one of the favorite passages of mine, probably in the entire Bible, is in Isaiah chapter 1. It begins about verse 16 and goes down through the end of that chapter, well, not the end of the chapter, down through verse 20. In Isaiah chapter 1, you have a court scene. In the court scene, God calls creation to witness against Israel, and he accuses Israel of not keeping the covenant, that they haven't done what they were supposed to do. And in verse 16 he says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widows. Verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It doesn't matter what your past life has been. God says if you will repent and renew your commitment to my covenant, I will wash away your sin. Amen. So as we look at renewing our commitment to love God, will you do it every day? If you do, you will be amazed at what He will do for you.